you never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, where we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Take a look. If you're watching on YouTube, take a look. What do you think? This is the hard work and efforts of Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech has done such great work. Have a facelift, actually. And if you're watching us via YouTube, you can see the difference. A little bit more clarity, a little bit more up close and personal. Is it not? I think it is. Well, folks, we broadcast, in case you're new to the program, we broadcast live each and every weeknight. That is Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on our flagship station, the Global Star Radio Network. Global Star Radio Network, it's the place to be. And, of course, we're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, on YouTube, you can watch us live on YouTube. And each link to our audio and video venue can be found at HagmanandHagman.com. That's our internet presence for the show. Don't forget we have HagmanReport.com. There you can find show prep, news, and information that is important that you need to know about. So don't forget we have both websites, two websites. And of course, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator and my son, Joe Hagman, together. We're something I like to call the Hagman and Hagman Report, America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Now, portions of tonight's broadcast, folks, brought to you by Whole Tones Live. That's wholetoneslive.com, W-H-O-L-E, toneslive.com. You know, one of the things... And I've always been a fan of good music, specifically classical music, I suppose. This is as close to that as you can get, using the frequencies of the Bible of King David. WholeTonesLive.com has a creation, just a wonderful creation that, well, if you're sick and tired of being stressed or overwhelmed and unmotivated, if you feel like you're being run into the ground, you know, you're not alone. You can experience, really, the scientifically proven powers of music therapy through WholeTonesLive.com. Folks, bookmark WholeTonesLive.com. Go there after the show and download a free copy of WholeTonesLive.com. More on that later. Now, today, as the program unfolds, we're going to talk about what's taking place in New York. Well, you know what's going on there. Of course, the primaries. Going to touch on that a little bit. Get into some deep information about news, the headlines, what's hiding behind the headlines. And before we do that, I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning into our broadcast, for listening, whether it be on Global Star, through your phones, at your computer, watching live. I just want to say thank you and welcome to our new look. You know, you really helped build this. Each and every one of you have helped build this. And we're not going to let you down. Things are going to be pretty crazy in the short term, I believe. We're not going to let you down. But thanks for listening from California to the East Coast, to Canada, down to South America, all across Europe. Thank you. Thanks for tuning us in. Joe.
Yeah, it's great to be here tonight. We are in the new studios and have this new look, and Eric did a fantastic job. We got a great show planned for you tonight. We are going to talk about the election primaries in New York State, as well as we'll be joined by Stan Dale in our third and final hour. We're going to talk with him about the intensive earthquake activity that's been going on across the nation, across the world, as we saw a few 7.0 plus over the weekend from Japan to the Tonga region to Ecuador. Buildings were destroyed, cities were destroyed in some cases. And at the bottom of this hour, we're going to talk with Chance from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. He's going to come on to talk about some preps and other deals he has going on at AmericanWholesale.com, where you can get the GMO-free Thrive brand of storable food as well as other survival necessities for from bug-out bags to water in a bag, if you can believe that. It's pretty interesting stuff. But
just add water.
But let's start off in the New York primaries. Lots of crazy headlines coming out of New York today. Shenanigans is what it looks like to me, from GOP ballots not being available at places in Harlem to people who go to vote whose last names start with the letter N. You know how they do that in alphabetical order, having to wait, people only being given the Democratic ticket, people seeing Ben Carson on the primary for the GOP, all kinds of different stories coming out of New York. They say hundreds of thousands of problems. It's the top headline on Drudge right now. I mean, what'd you expect? I mean, this is what is going to happen. And with all this, on top of this, there is a headline about Cruz. Even if Cruz comes in third, he'll snag more than half of the Pennsylvania delegates, which is interesting. Also, in other news, we have more news on the UN grabbing control of the oceans, as well as a massive DNA database being built by government. It's scary stuff. Where do you want to start?
Well, just to be clear, and I want to make sure everyone understands what we're looking at here. Based on all the information I've been gathering and information I've been trying to obtain from my sources, we're in for a rocky road, and I know people want specifics, they want particulars. It's a little difficult at this point. The sources I've got are saying that there's a pretty fierce buildup of police and paramilitary presence in specific geographical areas. Basically, I ask what areas, my source said, all of the populated areas, which doesn't help me a bit. This cat and mouse game with information was not intentional. This is not an attempt to just, stoke up fear and to be intentionally vague. What it is, the information, again, that I received is that many of the, or the way that, that, that the DHS and federal authorities and the interaction with various police agencies is extremely compartmentalized. Whereas before, we'll say pre-9/11 and post-9/11, at least if we're this a few years post-9/11, a bulletin would be nationwide, for example. Now it's more regional. It's not to say they're all like that. It's to say some are like that. Information that the population centers practices are being practice sessions are being conducted to control the movements of people within urban areas. New York City, Los Angeles, Atlanta. You folks, you can select the cities. That's number one. Number two, they're looking at something in fair weather conditions. Based on the supplies that are being ordered, it's in fair weather conditions. So we're looking at the summer, early fall kind of event to take place. Again, not much help with regards to specifics. Thirdly, this does appear to be orchestrated by groups within the United States. And once more, that doesn't help. How many groups are there? Okay, however, it does, one thing that is pretty clear to me from my conversations is that the conservative right-wing base will be blamed. Actually, very specifically, the pro-Trump supporters will be blamed. Now, I'm not sure how that works, nor is my source. If Trump, for example, emerges as the nominee for on the Republican side, I'm not certain how that would work. But regardless of that, they're planning for violence from the Trump side. Now, again, does this make sense as we look at it? We're only getting small pieces of a larger puzzle. I don't know if it makes sense. Looking at it this way, obviously we're missing a lot of pieces. We're missing a lot of information. And we're making a lot of suppositions right now. There's a lot of reasoned speculation being made here. I've been promised with additional information as my source gets it. Now you have to remember, my source now is at really arm's length from DHS. So there's a leak within DHS to my source, to me. Does that mean that this information is not reliable? No, of course not. This source maintained contacts within DHS. And to those people who may believe or say that, well, if that source is not with DHS, or even if that source is with DHS, you know, there's always a question. Do you believe that the information, they're going to allow this information to come out? Well, sometimes it's a controlled release of information. Other times it is, they can't control the release of information. It just happens. That's why the people are called whistleblowers. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned about what's on the horizon for this coming summer. I do believe that gun owners are in the crosshairs. This is nothing new. This is just solidifying what we already knew, but bringing it a little bit closer to the event horizon. And I also believe that we are going to be censored in what we write and what we say after such an event does take place. More information as I get it. I'm talking about federal agencies that are working with local and municipal. Certain local and municipal law enforcement agencies are preparing for mass casualty events, plural. Now, again, the cause, I don't know. Take it for what it's worth. You go ahead and say, well, you're just spewing a lot of information that's too vague. Okay, do better. You do better. To those of you who would say that. But this is the information that I'm getting, little by little, And it's being sourced out. Now, what we're also looking at too, and this is an interesting thing, there will be people that will be subjected to marginalization on the internet more so than they've ever been before. I would watch people such as Alex Jones, InfoWars, and people associated with him to be even more marginalized than he has been in the media. I would watch for people like Steve Quayle, ourselves, to be marginalized even more, and to the attacks to continue, more public attacks, more overt attacks, and even censored to the point of saying, well, these people are attempting to foment chaos and behavior. Well, what can I tell you? But this is where it's headed, folks. This is the information I'm getting right now in real time. And I hope to have more for you as my source permits, or as permitted through the contact with my source. And you have to understand too, this is not just, you can't pick up the phone and talk to these people and talk to the sources, because it just doesn't work that way. And there is an element of caution being exercised. So I would urge everyone to really be very, very serious about talking with your family and talking with your close friends and making sure you've got a place to meet in the event of a communications outage or whatever the event might be. And regardless, this is good planning anyway for a family, right? Just as you would have smoke detectors in your home, just as you would have a fire extinguisher in your home near a fireplace or a furnace. This is good planning, good operational planning. So please do that. The other thing too is the information about those people, about people like us, the so-called red list. I don't know, red, blue, yellow, green, whatever. I don't know anything about that except to say there are lists that are in existence. But those particular people who are perceived to be a threat to the operations of government, that list is growing, and names are being added, organizations are being added to that list. I would really be careful with respect to who you talk to, and sharing your planning, your preparations, your stash, shall we say, with others. So that's not to say be stingy. I'm just saying don't put yourself in a position where you could be classified as some sort of a survivalist and a threat to the government. And the Islamic terrorists in this country will play a part in this as well. They will be a part in this, whether they will be the perceived victims of some sort of right-wing attack or whether they will be the perpetrators in a right-wing attack. There's been an increased amount of activity at the mosques and Islamic centers across the United States, and an increased overlap with respect to the FBI and domestic intelligence agencies at the state level as well. Information I had, want to pass that along to you. More on that as things break. So you want to take us to the more normal news, right? Go ahead.
Well,
or if you have any comments on that too, because, you know, I don't know, your research might correspond with the information I received, or.
No, I'm going to leave that alone for right now. I want to hit on this. This is something that we talked about yesterday, the September 11th bill that Obama said he would veto if the bill made it to the White House. Today, this from the Associated Press, September 11th, families upset by White House effort to derail bill. Families of the victims of the September 11th attacks say they are greatly distressed that the Obama administration is working to derail legislation giving them the right to sue the government of Saudi Arabia for any role of the Saudi government may have played in the attack. Your place in history should not be marked by a campaign to foreclose the judicial process as a venue in which the truth can be found. More than a dozen relatives of the September 11th attack wrote to President Barack Obama. The family members are also urged the president to permit the declassification and release of U.S. intelligence bearing on the topic of possible Saudi involvement in the attacks. goes on to say at issue is the bill that would allow victims' families to hold the Saudi government liable in U.S. court. House Speaker Paul Ryan tiptoed into the swelling controversy Tuesday, telling reporters that lawmakers need to review the bill to make sure that we're not making mistakes with our allies. Obama is traveling to Saudi Arabia on Wednesday as part of an overseas trip. The White House opposed to it. It received some opposition here. We're going to let these things work themselves out throughout the process, Ryan said. The White House said it had opposed the bill because it could expose Americans overseas to legal risk and could damage the U.S. relationship with the Saudi government. The kingdom has threatened to pull its billions of dollars from the U.S. economy if the legislation is enacted. That should tell you everything you need to know right there. The country threatened to pull over $750 billion from the U.S. economy if these 28 pages were uncensored and released to the public, and then the 9/11 families would be allowed to take legal action against the country. The government is arguing that it would open the door for other countries and their citizens to take the U.S. to court. So it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to reach a medium ground here because of opening up the Saudi Arabian government to litigation from the 9/11 victims' families could open up the U.S. government to litigation from tortured Middle Eastern families.
I don't believe that. I mean,
that's their excuse.
Yeah. Well, the 28 pages, and there's a lot of push toward releasing the 28 pages that Bush. We have to remember Congress, Bush, DHS, the intelligence venue. I mean, all the intelligence, the politicians within the intelligence venue had put a lid on the so-called 28 pages. But the 28 pages go way, there's more than the 28 pages. This goes so deep into the CIA, their relationship with the Saudis, the Saudi intelligence, the CIA. This is beyond the 28 pages. And just to say the 28 pages, as I said yesterday, just to make reference to them, as being of vital interest is really not, it's really not, to me, it's a no, it's really not an issue. I think that they could release the 28 pages. I don't think that those pages would be a surprise to anyone who's been paying attention. Maybe to the likes of Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, who's, oh my goodness, did have no idea that we were so cozy with the Saudis. And I use them only as an example of the mainstream media pushing the same corporate lies and the same lies. So it goes much deeper than that. The Saudi involvement, the Qatari involvement, the involvement by other Middle Eastern countries. Remember, we weaponized Islam, and this is kind of like getting shot with your own gun, getting wounded with your own gun, and then covering it up. I mean, that's what this is. But look beyond the 28 pages. Think 280 or 2800 pages that could be released in explanation toward the attacks. And also, don't forget about the $3 trillion legal suit that was filed by the victims, families, and survivors of 9/11 against the government of Saudi Arabia and against certain factions, including but not limited to organizations. I believe the Muslim Brotherhood was. This is, I believe. So I'm not exactly certain, but I do believe that groups like the Muslim Brotherhood were also involved in this. And this has been, the news about this has always been, there's been a big blackout about this. Joe, before we go any further, I want to give a shout out to someone here real quick, Todd O. I'm not going to give his last name. All right. Todd, if you're watching, if you're listening, I'm going to try to do this given our new surroundings here, our new studio. And folks, have a look at this. This is just fantastic. 3D printer technology. This was sent to us March 28th, or dated March 28th, 2016. Dear Doug and Joe, Todd R. writes, I've been listening to your channel on YouTube for a few years and wanted to thank you both for all you do. I printed these refrigerator magnets on my 3D printer as an expression of my gratitude. Now, his website is www.thingiverse, thingiverse.com. Okay. In fact, what I will do at some point, I will post his website because you get to see these. I'm going to see if these will show up. I'm going to use this as a backdrop, this, his letter here. And he sent this. Now, don't forget, now, he created these on his 3D printer. And let me see if you can. Let me see if this works. That's our logo, and it's a 3D relief of our logo. I don't know. How does that look, Eric? Does that look pretty good? Can you see that?
Yeah. Because you got one right to your left too, the big circle.
Yes. Yes. Basically, what this is, is what's on the wall in a magnet form. And there was one other one he did, and this is our other logo. And these are just so neat. Let me see if this works here. Can you see that? It's the two of us. I'm not sure if I have it straight. It's the two of us.
Yeah, this, I mean, that's 3D, really nice. You know, that was done with a 3D printer.
Yeah. So, I mean, how great is that? So, Todd, I want to thank you so much for that. We want to thank you so much for that. They're actually, Eric ran and got them. We have them. I have them in my office, and what a great thing. Those are printed by 3D. It's thingiverse.com, thingiverse.com, and then we'll put I'll put the exact URL up on the website.
Okay.
So I just wanted to do that before I forgot.
This report from the freebeacon.com. Report, Planned Parenthood organ sales are pure profit. Planned Parenthood abortion clinics profit from the sale of aborted baby organs, according to new documents released by a congressional committee investigating the organization's practices. The U.S. House Select Panel on Infant Lives released a preview of its findings after a month-long review of internal documents obtained from the nation's top abortionists, as well as organ procurement companies and buyers. The panel concluded that abortion clinics incur no additional cost in harvesting organs obtained from the already aborted baby, and that the sale or transfer of those organs represented pure profit for the clinic.
Yeah.
Remember, they denied that they ever did this.
Well, I am absolutely amazed, Joe. And boy, okay, now I'm going to get started.
The report continues.
Go on, just go ahead, because I'm going to get riled up here in just a second.
The abortion clinic has no cost, so the payments from the procurement business to the abortion clinic are pure profit, the report concludes. All costs are borne by the procurement business or the customer.
Interesting choice of words, huh?
The payments from the customer to the PB exceed its cost by a factor of 300 to 400%. Pro-life activists said those practices run counter to federal law, which bars clinics from profiting off of the sale of baby body parts. The abortion industry sells babies' hearts, brains, livers, hands, and other organs produced or procured by a middleman company inside the facility at no cost or effort to the facilities themselves. The facility receives upfront fees that can amount to five-figure sums every month, and then the procurement companies resell organs for tens of thousands more, depending on the child's characteristics. Marjorie Dan Fesler, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, said in a release, "The documents made clear there is absolutely no cost to the abortion clinic, so that all monies received go to their bottom line."
All right.
The committee's conclusions stand in contrast to Planned Parenthood's repeated denials that it made any money from the sale of organs. Remember, this is a congressional committee. Again, the committee's conclusions stand in contrast to Planned Parenthood's repeated denials that it made any money from the sale of organs. The group claims that all payments were to recoup costs. The abortionists announced last year would no longer accept any payments from researchers or procurement companies for baby body parts. Planned Parenthood did not return a request for comment. The congressional panel will hold a hearing Wednesday morning to discuss the report.
Okay. Well, I am amazed, folks, at the number of people who are sidelining the abortion issue, the killing of unborn children. I'm amazed at the number of people who are, the number of Christians in America who are doing that. Maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe that just shows my naivety. Maybe that just shows my lack of really understanding. Maybe it just shows how plain stupid I am. But why? Why, I ask each and every one of you, why aren't people more angry? How did we forget the videos from the Center for Medical Progress? How is it that those videos, once made public, are now secondary to what the Kardashians might be wearing, or what some celebrity might be having for lunch? We have absolutely forgotten about this. There's a couple of things taking place as well, and I'm also amazed at this, folks. I'm amazed at Christians who are defending and who have defended the act. Now, let me rephrase that. I am amazed at the Christians who are critical of the Center for Medical Progress for misrepresenting themselves. Joe, you can feel free to comment on this, because we have in the past, as investigators, gone out and operated under a suitable pretext for a situation, not getting someone to do something they ordinarily would not do, but very simply having them do it for us under a pretext by representing ourselves as someone who we were not. Because how many undercover police officers could walk up to a prostitute and say, "Hi, I'm a cop. I'm, you know, $20 for, you know, a romp," or whatever the terminology might be. It wouldn't work. Yet I am absolutely amazed. There's two types of individuals out there who are screaming bloody murder about this, and I would not give the names or website addresses of these individuals, because that's what they want. They want attention because they're irrelevant. But their argument is not, according to them and others. You see, here's their argument. A Christian would not misrepresent themselves. So the Center for Medical Progress, David Dayaden or something to that effect,
yeah,
was indicted, or was charged with two or three charges by federal and state authorities. Now, let me ask you a question, okay? And of course, the argument here by the people who have taken issue with us is a real Christian would not misrepresent themselves. That's a very dangerous road to be going down. The second argument from the same, as well as individuals that are around or within that circle, true journalists would not misrepresent themselves in that fashion. Yet not one of those two individuals, actually entities posing as individuals, address the matter of abortion, address the killing of unborn, address the mass slaughter that is nothing more than a satanic ritual. So let me ask this question. What's going on here? I guess I'll ask you this. What's going on here? Because a while back we had a discussion. Of course, we had a discussion about the terminology, the change in terminology, how tissues, unborn children are referred to as tissues and fetus. Maria Canise had written me an email back a couple of days ago, reminding me that I had asked people to look up the fetus in the dictionary, and she stated the definition isn't what counts there, it's the etymology of the word. In her Webster's dictionary, it says from the Latin, act of bearing your young offspring. That's what the etymology of fetus is. when she looked up the definitions of offspring, it says progeny. When she looked up the definition of progeny, it says descendants, children. It also means offspring. So fetus, when applied to humans, does indeed mean a child. But to get to that point, it's not, I mean, it's pretty well hidden, and it's not found quickly by looking up the definition. And she wanted to clarify that for us, and thank you, Maria Canise, author of Prepare for Persecution, which, by the way, is a great book. I was honored to write the foreword for that, and I do recommend people go to Amazon and purchase Prepare for Persecution, because it contains a lot of great information in that book, information and inspiration that we're all going to need here in the short term. But anyway, she also continues by this, saying that Noah Webster was a very strong Christian, a man of God, and incredibly well-educated, and he was fluent in many languages, and he knew what he was talking about. However, the modern versions of today's dictionaries have been altered. Some, well, people are, the dictionaries, the words, this is the intentional dumbing down of America as well as the West. And some of it is about dumbing us down. Others is to make it more politically and modern, politically correct and modern. And this is a great argument for using older editions, she writes, of dictionaries and even encyclopedias. And this is where the internet falls short, and we should go back and go to the libraries and go to the old bookstores and go to the archives for our studies. But circling back around, can you believe, Joe, that there are Christians out there who are assailing others for the act of misrepresenting oneself to expose the horror, the slaughter of innocents, and taking this moral and spiritual high road better than thou? See, that's what's wrong with Christians. That's what's wrong with Christians today. Certain Christians, not folks, not you, but these, I don't even have words to describe.
I don't even know if I call them Christians.
No. Yeah. You know what?
And just to let you know, Chance is standing by.
All right. I just don't have any words for that. So I really don't. It saddens me. It makes me believe that these individuals are... It just saddens me. Let's bring Chance on.
All right. With that, from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, we have Chance with us. And we're going to talk about some survival stuff this week, some long-term storable food. Chance, it's great to have you back on.
Blessings. Listen, I'm honored. Thank you so much for having me on again this week.
Well, hey, thanks for coming on, Chance. And folks, if you don't know who Chance is, he is as Joe said, the man behind AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And it's nice to talk about preps. It's nice to talk about storable food, but you know what? It's even better to talk about tactics, methods of operation. Got a question? Here's an answer. Need some help? Here's a guy. Chance, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we are going to be talking about EMPs, natural disasters, bugging out. But before we do, I would like to start with prayer. We've been receiving many calls over the past 3 or 4 months, prayers for healing. And I found a prayer that I would like to share with your listening audience. And it's pretty powerful. It's short and powerful. So I'd like to do that. Okay. And we'll start with scripture. But if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8:11. Please bow your heads. Father, thank you that you sent your son to bring me life, life in the fullness, and life for eternity. Thank you that I share in Christ's resurrection life, that Christ is alive in me, and his spirit dwells deeply in my being. Right now, Lord, now I receive your healing. I receive the same power that raised Christ from the grave. I receive your life. I receive your strength. Thank you that all things are possible for those who believe. Thank you that you are moving in me right now. May I continue to receive from you this hour and every hour. Amen.
Amen.
So, last week we talked about plants, maps. This week, we're going to be talking about cases where we have an EMP or natural disaster and families are forced to bug out and bugging out on foot. So there are some tips I'd like to pass on to you. First, if you're bugging out and you don't have a compass and you do get lost, it is imperative, number one, that you don't panic. And I'll tell you why. Panic is a physical and emotional reaction, and it can occur independent of shock. It can also cause nausea, dizziness, even hallucinations, and in worst case situations, your death. The best tips to eliminate panic: number one, stop, sit down, breathe heavy and deeply, and perform what we call a right brain function, like tapping on your knee. Then apply logic. Once you have calmed down, you need to analyze your situation and think rationally. Instead of trying to solve the emergency all at once, just focus on one small task at a time. Eat, drink, look for shelter. As a matter of fact, I say drink first, eat, then look for shelter. Study your maps and escape routes for water sources. So, those are just basically keys if you get lost. If you don't have a compass, there are ways that you can find direction. And here's one simple way to do that. If you have a watch, even if you don't have a watch, but I'll teach you. If you have a watch, hold your watch flat. Then turn your body and the hour hand face the sun with the hour hand. South will be halfway between the hour hand and 12. Right? So, again, hold your watch flat. Turn your body so that the hour hand is aimed at the sun. South will be halfway between the hour hand and the number 12. North is exactly 180 degrees in the opposite direction. You can adjust for daylight savings time by just adding or taking away an hour. If you don't have an analog watch and you have a digital watch, like a lot of folks do, you can actually draw your clock face on the ground and do exactly the same thing. So that's just a tip if you lose your way and you're trying to head in a specific direction. Let's see.
That's interesting.
Another tip. If you're going to be bugging out, we would suggest that you only travel during daylight hours. It is very important that you, number one, if you're not familiar with the territory, that you can see where you're going, and you can monitor, you know, things around you. So only travel during daylight hours. If you're not sure of how much daylight is left, there's another tip. To estimate daylight, basically face the horizon and outstretch your hand, four fingers from your hand between that the sun and the horizon indicate 1 hour of sunlight remaining. Every additional finger represents 15 more minutes of daylight. So if you're looking at the horizon in the sun and you're able to put up eight fingers, you basically have 2 hours of daylight left. I hope you folks are writing this down, or you'll go back and listen a little bit later and make some notes. And the last and most important thing is water, folks. If you're bugging out, you need to know how much water that you're going to be bringing with you. And water is heavy, so you want to make sure that you have enough, but not so much that it bogs you down. So these are just basic facts. A person loses an average of 1.5 liters of water every 24 hours through sweating, breathing, and urination. Physical exertion and high heat can increase that loss as much as 1 liter per hour. The minimum level of necessary water replacement depends on the air temperature and your activity level. So if you're resting at 80 degrees, you'll need to consume a minimum of 1 liter of water every 24 hours just to stay alive. If you don't have enough water, if your water supplies are limited, you should really try to stay in the shade and avoid any physical exertion. Okay, so listen, that's a lot of information. We're going to continue next week with some more survival tips. And, gentlemen, I thank you.
Before we cut you loose, Chance, let me ask a question. This is somewhat off topic, but it referenced something I said earlier. And the question is this. Being a prepper, how much should you, to those preppers out there, how much should they, how much information should they share with neighbors? I mean, what is your, given your experience, what is your litmus test to, of trust with neighbors, friends, relatives in terms of sharing information with them? For example, you know, look, I've got a stockpile of ammunition. If, you know, the stuff hits a fan, come, you know, you can come here or whatever it might be. What is your litmus test?
Wow, that's a good question. It really depends on the area that you reside in. So I'm going to take a best case scenario out in the country where you know your neighbors, you've come to be friends, and they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Absolutely, you want to work as a team or community so that each person has a responsibility. They all come together for the benefit of the community. Okay, that's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you're in Detroit, Michigan. You're living in an apartment complex and your neighbor's a drug dealer. Do you really want to share that information with them? So I know that's extreme. So you really have to use discernment, Doug. You know, understanding that your preps are for your family, and scripture does teach us, you know, the widows and the children. However, we need to make sure that we're going to be able to help those folks. So by sharing that information with strangers or folks that, you know, you think twice about, might not be a good idea.
All right. And one last unrelated question once again. I noticed that you've got Mylar blankets. How important are Mylar blankets for your bug out bag? And do they work?
They do work, and actually it's amazing. Mylar blankets have more than one purpose. As a matter of fact, you can take Mylar and double it up, wrap it around your credit card, and put it back in your wallet. No one can read your card with one of those devices. Just something to throw out there.
Fantastic.
Mylar blankets are designed really to keep your body warm by keeping the elements, right? You're supposed to completely surround yourself in the Mylar by keeping the elements reflected off your body and to reflect the internal body heat back in. That's the idea. They have another purpose of you can use them as an emergency signaling device because they're so reflective. You can get the attention of planes, helicopters, or you know, maybe someone that happens to be looking for you.
Gotcha. Notice how I always drag more information out of you than you intend to give. Sorry about that. But fantastic information. Fantastic. Thank you. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com for all of your survival needs. Chance, thank you so much for that. You know how they had bicentennial minutes back in 76? I'm trying to think of what we should call this. Survival commentary, whatever. But good stuff. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. God bless you guys.
God bless you, too. Thanks, Chan.
Interesting. All right. Well, one thing, Joe, I want to go back to, because you were talking about this, and I had made, I kind of glossed over this. We were talking about the 28 pages, and I know people are into this, into the news about the 28 pages. I just want to make reference to this, because Saudi Arabia's financial involvement in the 9/11 attacks, just to clarify this. And in fact, Ted Brewer had talked about this book, the most dangerous book in the world. Now we've got no connection to the author, no connection to the book, but we read so you don't have to. Okay, and Dr. Ted Brewer had cited it extensively from this book, The Most Dangerous Book in the World, and I have to say it came today, my copy of this came today, and very interesting. But it's looking at 9/11 from different angles, including but not limited to an occult perspective. Now, here's the deal. New York Daily News published an article yesterday. It was yesterday, about Saudi's financial involvement in the 9/11 attacks. And Obama was speaking with, or pictured in the article, pictured speaking with King Salman bin Al-Aziz back in September at the White House. Now, what connections did the hijackers have to Saudi Arabia? 15 of the 19 were citizens of Saudi Arabia. Now, just bear with me for a moment, because I know that the truth seekers out there will say, wait a minute, this is kind of a red herring, or this is not really what, I mean, this is misinformation. And to a degree it is. Except, don't forget that Islam was weaponized back in the Second World War. Individuals were used as not only as patsies, but as agents of terror as well. So to accomplish what happened on 9/11, many different people, individuals, and groups were used. But did the U.S. government uncover evidence of Saudi ties to the attacks? While the press and the prostitutes say it's unclear, don't forget Bush chose. It was Bush who chose to classify 28 pages of the 28 pages refer to the congressional report, the 9/11 Commission report, 2002 joint report. That includes information suggesting specific sources of foreign support for some of the 9/11 hijackers were in the United, or while they were here in the United States. The report notes that neither the FBI or the CIA were able to address the definite or the extent of each or of such support. It is my contention, based on the totality of evidence, that the FBI, but specifically the CIA, facilitated or was complicit, at least the criminal cabal within the CIA was complicit in arranging that financial support. Now, Saudi Arabia has long been rumored to help finance the 9/11 attacks. We have talked with people who have read the 28 pages, members of Congress. In fact, members of Congress can request permission to read the document in a secure location, soundproof room on Capitol Hill. They can't take any notes. They can't take any pictures of the document. They're under constant observation. That's our leaders. Now, you can doggone well bet if I was a senator or if I was a member of Congress, I'd go in there and I'd give them what for. First of all, you ain't going to tell me. If I'm elected by the people and I report to the people, I'm giving this information to the people, and you ain't stopping me. So we're going to have a scene of some kind here. One of us is going to get bloody, perhaps, or arrested, or both. But anyway. So who's read the report? Bob Graham. He used to be a senator from Florida. He said, look, Saudi government supported the attackers, period. End of story. Thomas Massey from Kentucky. Yeah. He said, and I quote, the pages blew my mind. Okay, so wait a minute. You're going to keep this stuff a deep, dark secret? Release the pages. But do more than that.
I don't think it's as much about releasing the pages as it is as much about the ability for U.S. citizens to sue foreign governments.
And it's about the incestuous relationship between the Bush-Cheney cabal. That's right, conservatives. If you're a conservative and you believe George Bush was the best thing since sliced bread, then again, get your head out of your butt, because they were in bed together, perhaps even literally, if you know what I mean. The conspiracy theories are conspiracy fact. With respect to the Saudi involvement, but don't forget the Saudi involvement translates to the CIA involvement and the intelligence level involvement against the American people. It's a treasonous act, all for the occult ritual of mass sacrifice, as well as the almighty Federal Reserve note. This after more about this after the break, as well as other news. Tomorrow, open lines, Wild Wednesday, Thursday. I'll let you know about that later. Friday, Ted Brewer comes back for a return visit.
Yep. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.